Standing by, over.
Jeremy and Joe continues now
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Will's in for Joe today. Joe will not be here on Monday either. Will and I will be back on Monday. Woo-hoo. So nice, got to do it twice. 75 says Popeye's chicken breast weigh 8 pounds. It's totally organic. Squid, jalapeno stuffed with goat cheese and fresh herbs wrapped in pancetta, grilled till crispy. Sometimes I'll add crab meat. Squid Chef, though, on Twitch is a, I think he's a bona fide chef. I think he's like a legit chef.
That
so he knows,
sounds like
he knows he, food.
Yeah, he says things that I would definitely eat but would never think of.
Right.
That's a chef.
Yeah, he's like, it's creative and stuff. Ryan, who usually is in the chats, he's always texting us. He's a big foodie. He lets us know about it every chance he gets. Yeah, he knows his stuff too. And his wife, he posts stuff on Twitter. His wife makes a bunch of really good stuff. Junkie, y'all need to try queso flamado with chorizo if you have an amazing stuff. I've had it. That is really good.
What is it?
So the queso flamado is that it's kind of...
Is this from somewhere, or is this like anyone can make it?
No, I think you can get queso flamado at pretty much every single Tex-Mex restaurant.
I've never seen it.
I can't remember what the type of cheese it is, but they'll light it on fire when they bring it out to you.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, they'll light it on fire when they bring it out to you.
And if I ever do queso, I just do kind of like the... You know what I like is the white queso better.
I do too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I prefer... Somebody actually asked that to us yesterday. Yeah, but queso flamado is elite. With chorizo is very good. Texas omelet taco plate. An omelet filled with chopped brisket, grilled chopped peppers and onions, pico de gallo, oaxaco and coquita cheese. Inside your choice of small flour or corn tortillas. That's not a bad idea. That might be the way to do the Texas omelet, is that you some way incorporate it into a taco.
Yeah, I love that idea.
It's
I don't
really
love
good.
The pico. I love pico de gallo, but I don't like it necessarily like warm, wrapped up in warmth. Like, so are you heating it?
I hear you on that.
Like, how is that being like kind of consumed?
I would want it chilled on the side, and then you add it as a topping when it comes to you.
So I'm okay with.
Yeah, I think I would go that route as well, because I'm with you. I don't really like it hot. Yeah. Blaine, brisket, onion, tomato, cilantro. Good call. Fresh jalapeno and jack cheese. Cojita cheese sprinkled over top and a splash of spicy tomatillo sauce over the top. Okay, that's an elite order there. Texas omelet has to have brisket, red peppers, avocado, jalapenos, and cheese. That's a nice touch on the avocado.
Avocado is a great add. And then if you do that, I love Tapatio hot sauce. That's a great Mexican hot sauce that would go on there.
Yeah. 713-780 ESPN.
Creamy habanero sauces are my favorite again.
What's that?
A creamy habanero sauce.
I'm not crazy about the habanero.
Oh, it's so good. I found a really, really good one, but it's like, you know, it's not great for you.
Really?
It's like canola oil based and just, you know, a lot of inflammation happening afterwards.
Yeah.
Getting old.
Worked at Papa Do, had a customer order their lobster tail deep fried. That stinks.
See, that's just such a... This reminds me, I was in the airport once at one of the Mexican restaurants, like really, really good food. And a guy walked up and ordered, man, I'm going to screw this up now, but it was like he wanted was it 1942 tequila?
Oh, yeah.
But he wanted it in like a Coke. And the bartender was like, you want 1492 in a Coca-Cola? And the guy was, you know, like kind of being a pecker about it. He's like, yeah, you heard me. I was like, bro, you want a... $88 shot, which isn't even great tequila in general, on a Coke.
Like,
what are we doing here?
You gotta drink it right on a big rock.
Yeah.
How do you drink your good
one
liquor?
One small rock.
See, I like the big rock.
Yeah, but I don't like all that water in there.
Okay.
I just like a little chill.
That so
like
makes sense.
Ideally like a rock, like cold rocks, like literal rocks or the metal that they put in there. Just because I don't like it watered down.
You don't want to water it down.
I hate
you just
it
want
room
it cold.
Temperature, though.
I don't like it room temperature either. I like it on a big rock, preferably squared, actually. I don't like it on a round rock.
Well, the idea with the round rock is that less of it touches it, so it doesn't actually get as watered down.
Is that why?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. See, I don't mind the watered down a bit.
I do.
But if it's a more expensive brand.
Assuming we're, like, I want to taste all of it.
That's right. You were hating him on sangria the other day. I just remembered that.
You know, it's funny.
Talking
I did that
liquors.
Just to poke at you, and I had no idea what you were even referencing.
We were at Fredericksburg, and I got some sangria. I went to my spot in Fredericksburg.
They move, by the way. And then, yeah, you were like hating on my sangria. I was like, what? You were like, how do you know this? Ever. And I was two, like, you're wrong.
I was like, no, it's not. And you were like, how do you know? I was like, oh, no, you said something. I was like, I haven't even tried it. And you're like, wait, what?
Yeah, you threw me off with it. You haven't even tried it. Josh from Seabrook, there are some donut shops in the area that make boudin kolache. See, I like my boudin by itself. I don't want the other flavor profiles with my boudin.
I don't want anything great inside of my kolache because it's the same concept. Now, I love like eggs and chorizo or brisket, like a decent brisket, I guess.
Yeah.
But like, I don't want like a greatness inside of a kolache because it's not like a great thing to eat. You know, it's kind of easy.
One Big Rock cools better than the smaller ones. Worked at Subway when I was in college, and this guy would come ask for his tuna to be toasted. Smelled horrible. Yeah.
That's not rare, though.
That's not
rare. It's a tuna melt.
Right. That's a good point. I don't like tuna melts.
Love tuna melts.
You get good ones around here?
No.
Really?
But I haven't ordered. I don't get them regularly when I say I love them. Like, it's a go-to. I just really like them.
Who's that guy, Bob Knows Sports? He loves a tuna melt.
Oh,
he gets
yeah,
like a tuna
yeah,
melt
yeah.
like every day.
Yeah.
Like, this guy likes tuna way too much.
And Caesar salad wraps.
Yeah.
I love a good Caesar. You know who's.
I just prefer my Caesar salad.
I like
have a Caesar salad.
I prefer Caesar salad wraps. I just, like, it's like all within that burrito, you know, wrap. It's,
yeah.
And it's just all condensed and tasteful.
Man,
but
it's got
to have croutons in it.
See, I figured it would get kind of soggy in a wrap, though.
It doesn't.
You got to eat it quick. It's got to be made fresh. Yeah.
I like some good wraps. I hate cold cut. Hate cold cut wraps because there's no crunch and like crisp to it.
Oh yeah.
And there's no like difference between what you're kind of biting into. Like I like a good hamburger wrap or a
A
Caesar wrap. Yeah, but with croutons, because you got to get that crunch in there.
Okay. Cholula's far superior to Tallarico, says the junkie.
Tallarico?
I do like Cholula.
As in the Looney Tune.
I don't know what he's talking about. I've never heard of Tallarico.
Tallarico's the guy running for.
Is that a sauce though?
He misspelled and what is it?
There's Tallarico sauce. There's two L's in it though.
Tallarico.
Yeah, I think. But this is Italian sauce, so he must have misspelled something.
Yeah, something is he. The one I referenced that I can't think of right now is he's not thinking about Tallarico.
He misspelled something. You're right. I prefer Cholula as well.
I think it's just too simple. Like I just don't think it's very. I don't think it's.
Well, I'm a simple-minded kind of guy.
Tapatio.
Oh, Tapatio.
You know what I really like though is Valentino.
I don't think I've had that in a while.
Very good. Tapatio, I think, is way better than Cholula. I don't dislike Cholula. Again,
I don't think I've ever had Tapatio. Actually, I just pulled
the
up
white label.
Yeah, I just pulled it up. I've never. I don't think I've seen this.
Very
Tapatio.
Good.
How do you feel about sriracha?
You just Asian.
It's got to be on Asian for
me. Yeah, Asian noodles.
Yeah, like a fried rice with a little bit of sriracha on it. Sometimes I'll dip it into my. Sometimes I'll put like a little bit of it in my soy sauce when I'm eating sushi.
I actually will do all the wasabi in my soy sauce.
See, I'm not a huge wasabi guy. It's not the spice. I just don't like the.
You don't like the horseradish.
I don't like the horseradish.
That's reasonable.
Have you done the St. Elmo's shrimp cocktail?
Yes. It's the worst, dumbest thing in the world. Like, it's not bad. It's just like, okay, it's so spicy and so overdone that it's not really enjoyable. Not because it's spicy, but you don't taste the damn shrimp.
Yeah.
And a pretty sizable shrimp. And it's just, do I need to have a shrimp experience in Indianapolis also? Like, is that where I want to go to have my shrimp experience?
It's an experience. I think it's overrated too.
It's very much. And the sad part is Harry and Izzy's, which is better than St. Elmo's, by the way.
Yeah.
Has a great bar set up and great steak. So I don't care about the shrimp. Like,
yeah.
They got to do 100 things better than that.
The shrimp's the same there.
And you don't make shrimp. It's the same kitchen, I believe.
Yeah.
You don't make shrimp. You just fish for it and buy it. It's like you prepared the shrimp. All you did was put inordinately hot sauce on the shrimp so you can't taste the shrimp.
Yeah. That's what they think is good food there, though, in the Midwest. Like, oh, look at us. Look at what we're concocting. We're elite at food. No, you're just bad at food and doing that. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Let's get back to the Stroud conversation we were having earlier. A few junkies wanted to weigh in on that, so we will. 713-780-3776. We'll in for Joe, Jeremy, and Joe on ESPN 97.5.
You stepped inside. It's Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Break my heart if I find out you can't.
Will's in for Joe, 713-780-ESP. We're talking Stroud earlier. I think it's possible they could try to level up later. Not this year. Next offseason. I do think it's a big tell, though, if they don't give him a contract extension.
But so here's, I think it's possible as a big tell. It depends where the no is kind of coming from, because I also think Stroud's camp, and CJ in particular, is like, okay, if you want to do, let's just, argument's sakes, Texans offered him $40 million a year this offseason. This is not reporting. This is just speculating to make an argument and a conversation. Mm-hmm. They offer him $40 million this offseason. If you're CJ, you say, all right, second year with Nick Caley, a better offensive line. Like, I'm healthy. I'm ready to roll. It's the best offseason I've had from a health standpoint. I'll bet on myself, and I'll say no to the 40, and I think I can go 55, 60, 65. That got, I mean, he could go 70 and just reset it if he has a great year.
Yeah.
Like, he could say no, too, if they're trying to get a deal on him.
Sure. I think that would be unrealistic to get him to sign a $40 million a year contract.
Well, that's kind of my
it's
point.
It's probably his value.
That's my
that.
Point. It's like, if the Texans want to play that from the market standpoint.
Right. Now, Nick Caserio, whenever he extends guys, though, he kind of resets markets. He did with Will Anderson. He did with Derek
with
Stingley.
With market resetters.
Right. Not entirely. With those two, yes. Those two are the easy ones. Stingley, best corner in the league. He's going to get top corner money. Will Anderson, best edge rusher or top two edge rushers in the league. He's going to reset the market.
Who did he reset?
Jalen Petrie? Jalen Petrie got top nickel corner money whenever he got locked up.
Okay. Is he not a top nickel corner,
though? Became one. He wasn't when he signed.
Okay. You kind of got to give some credit where credit's due. Now, whether it's blind luck or not, I don't really care how you get there.
Right, but that's my point, though, is if you believed in C.J. Stroud, similar to how you believed in Jalen Petrie, wouldn't you extend him immediately? Before, like you said, if he has an incredible year, he becomes the highest-paid quarterback in the NFL. Not saying that's going to happen or we believe that to happen, but if he was hell-bent convinced that C.J. Stroud is a top-10 quarterback, he's going to lead us to a Super Bowl, we are going to extend him, just not yet. Why would they wait a year when it's going to cost you $10 more million a year?
I think you're probably right. When the minutia that kind of gets lost in this conversation, when everyone has this conversation, it's either you're going $60 million or you're cutting them, or like there's a lot of in between here of I love him and I'm not sure yet. Maybe the Texans are willing to go $70 million, but they're like, hey, I need a fourth year for $70 million. Is that cool? Like, can we agree on that?
That's not really Caserio's MO, though.
But I think he would be willing and happy to pay a quarterback that just earned a $70 million contract, right?
You know, I think he'd rather pay him 55 if he knew he's worth 70.
Oh,
he paid.
I think he goes the other way. If he's worth 50, he's willing to go 60. I think he overpays, but he's willing to like.
But Caserio's always early. Caserio's always early.
You can't really be early. You can be with the quarterback position, but the quarterback position is a little different.
You'd rather be early.
Yes.
Here's another reason why it's important to be early now. This is why it's important to be early now. Next year, Caleb Williams is eligible for an extension. Drake May is eligible for an extension. Jaden Daniels is eligible for an extension. So the math this offseason is entirely different than what it's going to be next offseason. So again, if you were 100% convinced on C.J. Stroud.
Well, someone's not.
And they shouldn't be.
Which is okay.
But that's the tell.
It doesn't mean they're out, though, either.
No. It doesn't mean they're out. It just means they're not sure yet.
Which is fine.
Totally fine.
Like, I dated my wife for a while before I asked her to marry me. You know, like.
So did she. Is, with you.
Indeed. But she couldn't wait to say yes. There is that dating period. And they're dating right now. Maybe they're engaged for a little bit longer like Pam
but
and Roy.
But that's not what Caserio's M.O. is. Caserio's
right.
M.O. is that he's overly eager and asks for the hand in marriage after 6 months.
But you're right. But with, like, generational, potentially Hall of Fame players, Will Anderson, Derek Stingley, we can all...
Petrie, Nico, before Nico went off.
Yeah. Yeah.
He didn't reset the market with Nico, but he was early.
No,
with Nico.
He actually got a great deal with Nico.
Sure.
To be fair, he was out of...
But a lot of it was because of his projection of Nico. When he extended Nico, it was that Nico first year where he was good, didn't play in a ton of games.
His third season.
Yeah.
Yeah. Liz, I don't disagree with, like, there are question marks for the Texans around CJ, which I'm okay with. I don't think you have to not – I don't think that it's a major red flag if you're not following your norm as much as it is, you know, due diligence slash, like, I'm cool giving you 60, but I just want to see it for one more year for $60 million.
Right.
Especially coming off the Kyler Murray – And Tua Tagovailoa.
The tell is they're still not sure.
Yeah, and that's but that's what that no doesn't mean
saying,
they're not out.
No one's saying that.
Yeah, I agree.
No one's saying that.
I agree.
It's just whenever they're sitting there telling you that, oh, yeah, Stroud's had the best offseason ever. We believe in him. We think he's the best thing since sliced bread. If you thought all those things, you would pay him $55 million a year right
now. Yeah, I 1,000% agree.
They're still not sure. They're still uncertain, which how can you not be? I get.
Yeah, you know, they can also kind of feel the way they do say they feel to a degree.
If he was 100% sure C.J. Stroud was their franchise quarterback for the next 10 years, he would have already signed at least a $55 million a year contract.
I don't think it's out of the realm that he still gets a contract.
Which if he does, if he does, then okay. Then this it's a moot conversation.
Like this conversation is live. Like we could get an email right now like of all
that would surprise me.
It would surprise me. I'm not saying,
but it is Casario's MO. If, and here's the other thing, the flip side of the conversation. If it does happen, okay, that backs up Casario's MO. It's what Casario does. Mm-hmm. He signs guys that he believes in that are homegrown early. And it would also be a tell that they believe in C.J. Stroud more than anybody else in the world. Which, if you're going to believe, like, I would applaud the bravado. I
or
would
at
disagree.
Least what was available
I would applaud
to
the
them.
Bravado.
You know, like, they believe more in C.J. than what's available to them. They obviously wouldn't believe him,
no,
him more necessarily over Josh Allen.
No. If you sign C.J. Stroud this offseason, if we think it's on the table, Adam Schefter guessing that it's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen, but let's say it does.
Did he say he thinks it's going to happen or that's possible?
No, he said it was his guess it was going to happen, but he said it wasn't a report. It was like his just guess. So okay. It wasn't reporting it. It wasn't something he was hearing. He was just, I think it's going to get done.
There's some background in there then. Like he's speaking on something.
I mean, he's got an educated opinion because he's
exactly.
I trust his opinion more than like, you know.
Mine.
Yeah.
He's got more insight than I do.
Well, I mean, you're local sure. though. So like you, yeah. I mean, you have an idea
but
too.
He's so dialed. Now here's the caveat to like all this. Is that he's also dealing with the Scott Boras of the NFL with David Mulligetta to where there's going to be more of an ask than maybe normal.
I think 55 would get it done. 55 would tie the second highest paid quarterback in the NFL. That would get it done today.
Unless David today. Says, bro, you can get 60. And I don't know that CJ.
That's a big risk because he might not.
I agree.
Because if he played like he did last year, he's not getting that.
It's a very major risk.
I think he would take 55 today.
I think you're probably right.
I think he would take 55 today. If the Texans offered C.J. Stroud $275 million for 5 years, which is 55 AAV and the appropriate amount of guarantees, I think it would be done right now this second.
If that came out
right now today, then it's Nick Casario backing up his MO, signing his guy when he's the first possible offseason that he can sign, and it is also their tell that they really believe in C.J. Stroud. But here's the danger of it. That's a kind of contract where if it doesn't work out, Nick Casario is going to lose his job.
Well, not only that, the whole team is going to be hamstrung.
They would
for
be hamstrung
5
for sure.
years.
Yeah, you'd be the Dolphins. Now you have a better defense than the Dolphins.
Well, that's another problem to deal with, for lack of a better term, because you're never going to be bad enough to get the next quarterback in the draft. So you're going to be good.
So that's why I think the Texans possibly could level up next offseason. They could Jared Goff, C.J. Stroud. This is something I brought up to Joe like a couple of weeks ago, where you're in this weird imbalance with Stroud, where he does have value in the NFL. Young quarterback, top 20, maybe he plays his way into a top 15 quarterback in the league, but you're still not like, yeah, I don't want to pay you 60. I don't want to pay you 65 to where you trade him in a first-round draft pick to another team whose quarterback is better than C.J. Stroud, who's kind of fallen out of favor there, or the team has fallen out of favor with that quarterback.
So who you know? I'm
so like
ask
the Goff Stafford trade would have been this.
Lamar Jackson's up in 2028.
The two names that you're going to hear, I think, most,
Matt
and the name that you would want. I mean, the name that comes up most often is Burrow.
But that deal, you have to take on that contract, which I think you'd be fine with
right.
Burrow because that contract.
You probably want a raise
20,
too.
30.
Yeah, you probably want an extension. They'd be the same thing as Goff and first round draft picks for Matthew Stafford, except the names change. Instead of Goff, it's Stroud. Instead of Stafford, it's who is that quarterback?
The problem is you don't know what this team's going to be in 3 years, in 2 years even, because it's just things change. Like guys get hurt, they move on.
From,
like, there's a lot of it's hard to maintain all these players that they have on the defensive side of the ball, which makes this team what they are.
Sure,
to stay around to say all right. You know, we'll just kind of, but they're stuck with CJ, for lack of a better term, right now.
Well, I don't think they have to be stuck for more than a year, though.
I'm saying right now.
Yeah, this year.
Season,
oh, for sure.
Obviously.
No question.
Now.
No
but
question.
I think even through the offseason, they kind of were, right?
Sure.
Like they weren't going to really do anything.
I think they could. I think it's possible they could. Again, it goes back to what we were saying earlier. Everything's on the table with Stroud. If Stroud pays really well. If he played like he did in his rookie year, they're just going to pay him $60, $65 million a year, and they have their quarterback in the future.
Happily.
If he plays kind of so-so, that's where they would level up or try to level up.
Yeah.
And I think Casario is aggressive enough to try to chase
he's
something
have
like that.
Trade value.
Burrow would be the top name. I like Jalen Hurts. Maybe that's my Houston homerism talking because he's from Channelview. Super Bowl winning quarterback.
I don't dislike
I think he'd kind of be a D'Amico guy too. You know,
the
leader.
Thing with Hurts is that he can take care of the ball, just move the ball. You know, I don't know, but is that worth the salary cap hit that he'll have for a quarterback that doesn't really win you games?
That would be the issue.
Right.
That would kind of be the question. Lamar would be another, like, you know, the sexy name. That'd be one of the sexy names.
I would be
names.
Terrified.
Josh Allen would be a sexy
like
name.
Physically in 2 years from now. I'd just be very worried. I mean, he's hurt all the time.
Yeah.
He's always hurt.
He seems like he always gets a little bit, you know, tweaks here and there.
Yeah. Or something major. Like, and it's kind of everybody, but, you know, whatever. Some guys more than others.
Junkie, you don't pay $50 million plus to a quarterback that you have made such an effort in the offseason to limit his pass attempts to an extreme level. I agree with that. I mean, the priority of the offseason is let's not let CJ throw the ball. We want to run it more. The counterpoint to that, though, is it makes a quarterback's life easier when you have a good running game.
Well, the counterpoint to that is that they went out and drafted Jalen Nolan and Jaden Higgins so that you had weapons to throw to.
Yeah.
That pause is good radio.
Yeah, I was thinking through it. Petrie resetting the market money is much less risk than quarterback resetting the market. That's true. But it is an example that Casario gets things done quickly, and he's totally okay.
That's his MO. You're 100% right.
And he's willing to do things that GMs aren't willing to do, like pay top dollar, reset the rookie guarantees. Like, he always does that, which irritates the rest of the NFL.
Notice that all these extensions that are market setting were defensive players because that's what this team is.
I mean, Nico got a bump, but it wasn't market
setting.
Right,
that's what I'm saying. Market setting players, all defensive players. And, frankly, obvious.
Yeah, but if C.J. Stroud was the best quarterback in the NFL, he would have already gotten a market setting contract.
Yeah, but we know that's not the case.
Right, but I don't think it's a defense-offensive thing with Casario.
Well, I just think that they have you're right. But I guess I kind of point that out to where that's what this team is defensive play. So you're keeping the pillars of that defense, I guess. I hate to say this, but God forbid, do they have pillars on offense?
I think Nico's a pillar.
Okay, so they have Ann Pillar.
I think Higgins has a chance to become.
Okay, so not.
I say Higgins a pillar, but like I don't think he's going to be an elite wide receiver one. I think he could be a second receiver pillar.
You ever look at his like game log? His best game last year was 2 catches, 88 yards. He had one play, 75 yards.
Yeah, but he had 8 touchdowns as a rookie receiver.
Yeah,
which is pretty good.
He was good at moments throughout the season that made big plays in moments, which is part of what this offense was.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think it speaks more to the offense than it speaks to Higgins.
No receiver went out there and had 10 catches, 125, and 2 touchdowns. Like, it just never happened because you couldn't do it.
They want to be the Patriots offense. They want to be run a lot of plays, a lot of time of possession. Maybe not a lot of plays, but hold the football, a lot
which
of time of possession,
really well,
keep
the
defense
way.
Off the field.
They did really well time of possession last year.
Did they?
Yeah. And I don't know. Maybe it fell off at a point, but
I thought it was below half of the league. But also the defense helps out in that because they're getting the offense on the field more because they were getting 3-and-outs all the time. You're probably right.
They were 4th in the NFL.
Yeah, but I think their 3-and-out percentage was like top of the league, like top 5, top 7.
Well, their third down conversion percentage was up.
See, I don't think time of possession is a big offense. It can be an offensive stat, but it's also a huge defensive stat. If you're leading the league in 3-and-outs, you're getting the other team off the field.
No, you're right. That's a good point. They were 31 minutes, 38 seconds. The other top teams with number 1 Buffalo, number 2 LA Chargers, number 3 Buccaneers, and 4 Houston.
Well, what's number 1?
33-18 Buffalo.
And they were 31?
Houston was 31, 38, yep.
I think they want to lead the league in that stat. I think they want to be 33.5.
No, I won't disagree.
All right, mailbag Monday on a Friday. 713-780-3776. What are your questions for Will and Jeremy? It's Jeremy and Joe. ESPN 97.5.
Mail call!
Mailbag with Jeremy and Joe.
You've got mail.
Will's in for Joe. We'll be back on Monday as well. It is a Mailbag Monday on a Friday. 713-780-3776. What are your questions for Will and I? 713-780-3776.
Me and Will.
Will, I am.
No. Will and me.
Which is worse, the wave or this new tarps off phenomenon?
The wave, by far. I think that the new tarps thing brings energy. It's great. It's awesome. It's fun as hell.
I don't see it.
I'm not doing it.
I don't get the tarps off thing. I don't get the phenomenon.
You really don't get it.
It's whatever. It doesn't really register for me.
Well, I'm not saying you need to like be interested in it, but it's awesome.
I don't think it's awesome.
Great energy in the ballpark.
Why can't you have energy with shirts
it's
on?
It's better than wee. Because
I don't mind the wave.
I hate the wave.
I think people that
the action of the this woo-hoo, is just not. It's not my thing. Let's just say, you know, it's not what I'm interested in.
I mean,
not
I don't
there's
do
anything
the
wrong
wave.
With that.
I don't do them.
What? I mean, it's way more. The goal of the crowd is to bring energy and juice. The wave does not do that.
Wave brings juice. People are like, yay! And like they're excited and they rise to their feet.
It's horrible. And
what's horrible about it? They're just
so soft. It's so soft.
I think it's soft complaining about the wave.
I don't complain
like,
about
who
it.
Who cares that they're doing the wave?
I don't walk around. You brought this up.
There was a question we were asked.
Yeah, and I'm answering that the shirts, the tarps off, getting rowdy is fun. And I'm in for that. For
I
sure.
mean, people can fan however they want to fan. I don't get the phenomenon. It's just whatever. They're going up to the top of the stadium and taking off their shirts.
They're having a good time. I love that. I dig that.
Right, what's the difference between that and just leaving your seat and throwing your hands in the air like you just don't care?
Nope, not doing it.
This junkie all the time. He asks these tough questions. Start, sit, cut, bite edition. Would you rather be bitten by a cottonmouth snake?
Who is this guy?
A brown recluse spider or a 4-foot-long juvenile bull shark?
Whatever's not killing me, I guess.
I think they're all going to kill you.
Yeah. then whatever's going to kill me the fastest.
I think you can survive the cottonmouth and the brown recluse.
You could probably survive the shark attack, depending on how it is.
I mean, yeah, you're probably there's a better chance of losing a limb there, though.
But there's also a chance of there's different degrees of. We're actually going to answer this way, aren't we? For real. This is horrible.
What's up?
That we're actually going to.
I mean, you would survive the cottonmouth snake and the brown recluse. You would just have to seek medical attention quickly.
Well, then if you're going to survive it, then I guess whatever. But I guess I'm operating under the fact that poison is like, there's no way around the poison. The poison's happening. There are different degrees.
There's not poison to the shark.
Right. There's different degrees to a shark bite. It could be anything from devastating and you die to losing a limb to like, you know, you got bit, but like, you know, didn't really, nothing bad.
The last one I would want is the bull shark.
Why?
Because I think it would do the most damage.
Potentially.
I mean, if it bites your leg, I mean, you're not. But, it's not just like a little. Like it's not just kind of chewing on your toe.
No, but it could miss and get your pinky toe. Is what I'm saying.
But you're still probably going to lose your toe.
I'm all right with the toe, but I'm not okay with the spider bite that's going to kill me.
I don't think it would kill you.
All right,
well, you just have to immediately seek a medical attention. If you're asking which is more dangerous to a healthy adult, generally a cottonmouth snake is more dangerous than a brown recluse spider. It says that immediate danger, risk of severe injury, risk of death is higher in a cottonmouth. Brown recluse, it says lower, moderate, very low. So the answer here is a brown recluse.
Okay, bring it on. I'm just saying with the concept of the shark, the definition of getting bit can be very, very minor to like you die. Like, there's a lot of in between. The snake bite is kind of what it is, and same with the spider bite.
I just wouldn't want to lose on something.
Because of the venom. No, I don't either.
Plus, it could kill you, dude. If it gets like an artery down there, see ya.
Same thing with all the other ones.
I think you're more likely to die with the shark bite.
Assuming that the success of the bite is achieved by the shark.
Yeah, you want to roll the dice on that?
No. But I'm just saying that's the point. You know, well, maybe I punch it in the nose.
Good luck. Yeah, it says that the cottonmouth, a bite can cause severe pain, swelling, tissue damage, and serious medical complications. Death are rare with modern medical treatment. But they are considered medical emergencies. Whereas the brown recluse, venom can cause skin damage and in some cases a necrotic wound. Most bites are mild or heal without major complications.
Bring it on.
So, yeah, the brown recluse is the answer. Cottonmouth, I would sit, and then I'm cutting the shark because the shark could kill you.
Yeah, okay, that's fine.
What is the sportsy pun show name for Jeremy and Will? When there's a Will, there's a Jeremy. I don't know.
Nailed it.
That's not even sportsy.
No.
when there's a Will, there's a Branham. I don't know.
I'm going to sleep on that tonight.
Junkie says go look up recluse bites. They can be awful. I'm not going to look up shit. I'm not going to look up the bites.
Hell no.
But ChatGPT tells me to take one of those. Take a charge with one of those. If the Rockets put Durant on the trade block right now, what would they get for him? Would anyone even bite?
Dude, the conversation, maybe we do this more on Monday, but we got time now. Like the conversation about the roster building that we had about the Astros, we can equally have as passionately in several directions about the Rockets.
Oh, it's Evan Monday. That's a good forward tease for the business.
Because golly.
What's the segment? You want a Rockets offseason roster build?
Yeah, like what do you do? Just sit there and hope you get healthy? Or are you moving stuff around?
Because, that's a great forward tease.
Man, there are things to think about.
There you go. Well, let's think about them over the weekend and then talk about them on Monday.
I'm going to be lying in bed with my wife tonight and be like, so I need a name for the Brandon Kunkel show and...
sportsy name.
Yeah, sportsy driven name. And what do you think about rebuilding the roster for the Rockets?
I keep a notepad on my my nightstand. That way, whenever I have ideas in the middle of the night...
I do it on my phone.
I do too. I was kidding. Does anybody do that anymore?
I do with like my devotionals. I write down I like to... I retain things a little bit more. I'm not trying to retain the idea. I'm just... forgetting it by writing it down, but like not, I don't need to think about it all the time.
I almost never write stuff down.
I love writing stuff down because that is just the way I remember.
That's probably bad of me though.
During like at games, when I'm at games, I write down all my thoughts all the time because then I can remember them and I can kind of carve out like my thought plan afterwards or post game.
I do that on my phone. I keep notes on my phone.
Oh, God, I can't do that.
I keep all my notes that I keep, and I keep lots of notes. I'm a very detailed note taker, but I'm not I don't write them.
It's too fleeting for me. Like, the typing process is too fleeting and, like, forgetful, and I can multitask. I can't multitask while writing.
Yeah, I have to reread my notes, so that probably speaks to that.
So, like, when I do play-by-play, I do my shot sheet, like, your call sheets or whatever, your rosters, I write them all. I write down all my notes.
Yeah,
that
I
way
can't
I
do
retain
that.
Them.
Yeah. I can't. Plus, like my handwriting's too messy. I can't read them.
That's the thing, is getting it all in the boxes. But that's, you know, something that'll piss you off for a couple of days is trying to write small by typing in a box, but it spills out, and then it, like, goes, and then it's, like, all screwy.
When you write or type?
You're, like, in an Excel box, and you print it out, and, like, spills. It's not in the Excel box cleanly, properly.
Yeah.
So when you write, you can control that. Yeah. You can't control it on the computer.
Well, yeah, I disagree. I think you can control it with a nice little print
preview.
But then
it's way too small.
Sometimes it can be too small.
That's what I mean. So it's like a moot point.
You might need like an additional box at times.
Yeah.
Hee hee. That was some nerd talk there. How do you excel, bro? 713-780 ESPN. Here, let me show you this pivot chart real quick.
Excel, bro. You an exceller?
I like Excel.
I love Excel for what you can use it for. Yeah. It's perfect. It's so organized.
I'm pretty rudimentary when it comes to my Excel, though. I'm not very sophisticated with it.
Definitely that.
Yeah, I'm very surface level, very like, you know.
Like I used it recently for my tax guy. I had to list out like, you know, like I built like a, you know, like a minor studio for Kicking with Kunkel and like all the things I bought, I was able to write off, you know, to the write off people.
Yep.
And I went down one column the item, another column what I spent, and then subtotal.
Yeah.
Did it for me.
Some parentheses, A2 through
L2. You want to talk about the dumbest things we learned in school, man. Like, don't worry about saving and how to do your taxes and how to earn money and how to have income. I mean, A squared, B squared, C squared.
Equal sum.
Yeah. Like, wait, what do I need to learn?
Yeah, that's
that
what
has
I do
a
too.
Button for it? No using the shortcuts that are there and available to you. You need to learn how to type it out freehand.
That's the most advanced thing I can do on Excel. Figure out the sum. All right, 713-780-ESPN. What is your junkie of the day? 713-780-3776. Will in for Joe, Jeremy, and Joe on ESPN 97.5.
This crazy world is home to all kinds of junkies.
I got a junkie for a wife. Don't eat nothing.
Some worthless junkie.
We're adrenaline junkie.
Because I'm a news junkie.
Okay, I'm a Twitter junkie.
An elephant that's a junkie.
But only one can be the junkie of the day.
You're acting like some kind of ski junkie.
What loser will be the winner? Find out with Jeremy and Joe.
Shut the f*** up, junkie.
Junkie of the day. Junkie? What is your junkie of the day? 713-780-3776. What?
Like, where do you find them? Like people.com or something?
I have a lot of tabs that I go through each and every day, and I just kind of keep track of them. And then they're like Twitter. I mean, there's a lot on Twitter. like caddies that can't get the wind right. You see Scottie Scheffler yelling at his caddy.
He
put a 7-iron.
I'm not saying he was wrong here, but right. he went off on a reporter twice.
Oh, did he? I missed that.
Yeah, he's like, that's a really bad question. Next question.
Oh, I do remember that.
Yeah.
I do remember that.
Just out of character.
Well, he shot like a 65. He's like, yeah, do you think he left some on the course?
He's like, I shot a
65.
It was out of character for him in a response. Yeah. Not that it was a wrong response.
I think it was at the Masters. I think he shot a 65 on Saturday, and the guy's like, yeah, you know, you probably left some shots out there. He's like,
I think it was.
I just shot a 65, guy. I thought it was. But anyways, yeah, that's what it was. He shot a really low round, and the reporter's like, hey, you could have shot better. He's like, the audacity.
You'd be like, oh, yeah.
That was funny. But yeah, he yelled at his caddy. You know, I saw that on Twitter. He was yelling at he like, walked up with him on the whole hole and just like, hey, you know, you suck. Can't get the win right. I don't think you know how frustrating that is. Audio wasn't good enough to play, but Scheffler just wore into his caddy. You got to get the win right. That's your number one job. You got one job.
Yeah.
Actually, caddy's got a lot of jobs. But that's a very important job.
They don't do a
lot. They do a lot. They do the wind. They fix your divots.
Well, they
rake the bunkers. They carry your bag.
They don't help. They don't do a lot that makes you too much better of a golf.
Depends on what you're asking them to do. If you would, the wind reading isn't very important.
Is there a union or a group that's going to come after me now?
I don't think that there is a caddy union, no. But if they're reading greens, that helps a lot.
That helps. But are they?
Depends on the caddy. Depends on the group.
At that level?
Some golfers, yeah. Some golfers are really, really bad at it. And they rely on their caddy. A lot of golfers don't. They'll just have, like, their opinion. Like, hey, what do you see here?
Because, like, a caddy for me makes all the difference in the world because I'm a dumbass and can't do anything.
I think you're underrating the professional caddy a bit, depending on the player.
Maybe like, I'm
some,
overrating
some players,
the professional player.
Some players put a lot on their caddy. Some players put nothing on their caddy. Depends.
Yeah, that's fair.
Some are psychologists, you know. They're kind of mental coaches with certain golfers. It just depends on the golfer. Speaking of golf, Alex Smalley had a bad round. Alex Smalley shot an 83 yesterday. He lost 10.2 strokes to the field. It was the worst round of his career, 474 rounds at the PGA level. And it's also the third worst round of any player on tour this season.
Ooh.
83. We can roll out of bed and shoot an 83, Will.
Depending on the course, I can shoot an 83.
We can two-man scramble an 83 on a professional course.
Oh,
how far are you hitting it off the tee these days?
That's like my thing.
That's your strength?
Yeah.
Have you ever won a long drive contest?
Yeah.
I have as well.
Yeah. 320, I'll sit at, like, a, you know.
We probably need a caddy that can read our putts, though.
Oh, God.
Yeah, we'll certainly rely on the caddy.
I need bigger greens to hit with the short game. I need all the, yeah, I need all that help.
What's your career low?
80.
That a boy. Where'd you shoot that at?
A very wide open course in Wichita.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yep.
Have you played on many courses down here yet?
Not as often as I would like. You know, having a kid hurts.
Yeah.
My buddies belong to Riverbend and.
Yeah, kids are the worst.
To Riverbend and the one in the loop, Braeburn.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Great courses. So I usually just play wherever I get invited.
Yeah.
I don't belong anywhere yet.
Yeah, I haven't played in a while. My mommy's wrist is kind of hurt things here. We won't play the audio on this, AJ. I don't think we have the time. AJ Brown admitted that he was the leaks in Philadelphia. He wore it. He said, yeah, I did it, but my heart was in the right place. I thought it would get us on the right track. So AJ Brown admitted that he was the one leaking information in Philadelphia. How can you trust that guy?
Why would you admit that?
Because he's like, yeah, my heart was in the right spot.
But
he also goes, but I'm not going to do that here.
Yeah,
it's like those. It's like the cheaters, you know.
I'm not
going to cheat on you.
Not all leaks are bad. Not all leaks are like important either. Like some leaks are like okay.
That's true. And then Kevin Durant. Did you see him hiding in the bushes trying to hide from the paparazzi? I think this was a bad photo.
Here,
I'd like to see video of this. It was in Nobu, Malibu.
Have you been there before?
No, of course.
Great
not.
Spot.
This is some like optics here. I really don't think he was hiding. I think he probably went around the car, maybe around the bush, and it just looks like he's hiding. But it very much looks like Where's Waldo, him peeking over the bush. It looks like he's hiding from the paparazzi.
I want to see this.
I want to say it wasn't really like this. I don't know for sure. But yeah, it looks hilarious.
Oh, it's funny. No, I think that's towards the ocean, if I know this correctly. So like he's probably looking at something coming back into.
So there's a good chance he's not actually hiding. It's
exactly.
Just the optics of it.
Yeah. See, like he's. And like in the next photo is. Yeah, and the fact that like his head peers over the bushes because he's 7 feet tall.
Right. He's not really hiding.
Yeah, no, he's not hiding.
Yeah, I didn't think so. But it looks like he's hiding, and it's really, really funny.
Yeah,
and
it
of course,
really
on the funny. Of course, on the internet, whenever you phrase it that way, then everybody believes it.
And it's a screenshot. Same thing as when CJ Stroud was caught in a screenshot, not smiling.
Oh, yeah.
For that one split second that Davis Mills got the game ball. He hates Davis. He wants his team to fail because he's not playing. Bro, you are a dumb ass for thinking that.
All right, what's winning?
What?
Which one in the junkie? Probably caddies that can't read. They can't read the win. Yeah, caddies that can't
caddies.
Read the win, you win.
Bad caddies. How about people complaining about the president going to the NBA games tonight?
We got to go. Music's off. Whatever, I think it's game three. We are carrying the NBA finals a little bit later, though. AJ, thanks for your hard work. He'll be back on
Monday.
AJ. I'm Jeremy. Have a great weekend, everybody. Good night.
Peace.